Happy New Year, a year with a presidential election and a Senate impeachment trial expected this month. Right now, the timing, though, up in the air. One thing is known, the person at the center sitting up on the Senate rostrum, gavel in hand, will be Chief Justice John Roberts. Now, he's constitutionally mandated to preside over the proceedings. He's famously said judges should just call balls and strikes like an umpire, not take hits at bat, meaning avoid politics. But will he even get to make those calls? And how will he handle one of the most partisan political moments in American history? Let's bring in Joan Biskupic, CNN legal analyst and author of The Chief, The Life and Turbulent Times of Chief Justice John Roberts. It includes some 20 hours of interviews with Roberts. So, Joan, start with Roberts' role here. He is the presiding officer, but what does that mean? Because the Wall Street Journal's Jess Braven writes, Roberts will hold less power over these proceedings than a municipal court judge hearing a pickpocket case.
The only time our Constitution even refers to the Chief Justice in any way is for an impeachment of a president. And when he sits there on the rostrum, as you mentioned, he's not sitting as judge. He's not sitting as juror. He is a much more of a ministerial officer. He will not cast a vote. He has to ensure that procedures are met. But there is a Senate rule that says that the presiding officer can determine questions of evidence and witnesses. The caveat there, though, is that a majority of the Senate could overrule him. Now, just so you know, back in 1999, when Chief Justice William Rehnquist presided over the impeachment trial of Bill Clinton, those kinds of evidentiary witness questions never went to the Chief Justice. The senators themselves worked out such issues of how they were going to take testimony. Would it be live or videotaped? How many witnesses? They agreed on it. And then essentially, Majority Leader Trent Lott at the time would say, okay, Chief Justice Rehnquist, take it away. And that's likely what would happen here. But the reason I mentioned that Senate rule about the presiding officer having control on evidence and witnesses is that his hand might be forced.
Yeah, well, because let's remind ourselves, you say Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, who is the Mississippi Republican, and Minority Leader Tom Daschle, the Democrat from South Dakota, worked out, you know, the compromises with the 100, senators. But what if that doesn't happen this time around? This doesn't feel like something that can get worked out when you have Mitch McConnell saying there's only one outcome that can come from this, and that's the clearing of the president. No conviction at the end of the trial. He's already said that. So doesn't it feel a little more fractious?
It does. And I am certain that Chief Justice John Roberts probably has a level of anxiety about the unpredictability of what might happen here. I'll tell you one thing, though, that could happen is they could work incrementally. And that's actually what did happen last time. The senators were able to reach some deals on how to open the proceedings, and they couldn't on the witnesses right away. So they started the proceeding, and then they would, at various points, return to the back room and work it out.
You know, talk about this particular moment in time, because Justice Roberts also famously responded to President Trump when Trump said that a judge who ruled against him was an Obama judge. Roberts, in a rare rebuke, as you and others point out, he responded, there are no Obama judges, no Trump judges. There's already a conservative talk show host who's calling for Roberts to recuse himself because he's rebuked the president in the past. And, you know, I'm wondering if there are any concerns maybe from the other side of the aisle that Roberts is also overseeing the Supreme Court cases on whether members of the White House can override President Trump and testify, you know, in the impeachment proceedings. Remember, this went to court. You know, that's potentially going to be considered as we have new reporting claims just at the end of last year, just, you know, the last couple of days, that many of those White House staffers were very involved in the withholding of aid to Ukraine. So he's in the middle of all of that, too.
That's right. And that's why we should remind listeners and everyone exactly what his role is according to the Constitution. The reason the Constitution even has him presiding is because the individual who typically would preside over the Senate is the vice president. And the vice president would certainly have a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So even though there are these other battles going on across the street at the Supreme Court having to do with President Trump's tax returns and other financial records, those are the cases that have already gotten there.
Right.
It's the role that John Roberts has is going to be so different. And I think you know, the idea that he would have to recuse himself because of his rebuke to President Trump on the impartiality of the judiciary is crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
And from the other side, some people have said, well, he's going to be ruling in these other matters. But when he sits in the Senate, he will not be ruling. He is, as Chief Justice Rehnquist said, in a much more of a ministerial administrative position.
Oh, Rehnquist went even further. As you remind us, there's an archive of his letters. And he apparently joked, he took a page from Gilbert and Sullivan, saying he did nothing in particular and did it very well.
Yes. You know, that's from Iolanthe. Iolanthe also inspired the gold stripes that William Rehnquist had affixed to the sleeves of his black robe a few years before the impeachment trial. And then he used another page from Iolanthe for that comment. But he also, I'm glad you reminded me of the archive, that I went through his papers and I saw what he was writing to people at the time. William Rehnquist wrote to former Oregon Senator Mark Hatfield saying, I've been introduced to the ways of the Senate in a big way, but since there were no live witnesses, there was very little for the presiding officer to do. But he said it was interesting to see the Senate at work. And one other thing, a few years earlier, Bill Rehnquist, who was a bit of an amateur historian, had written a book about impeachments. Now, John Roberts is a student of history, and even before turning to law at Harvard, he thought he would get a PhD in history. So he'll probably be intrigued by the historic nature of this event. You know, this is only the third president in U.S. history subjected to a Senate trial. But I frankly think he'll be very interested in making short work of it and returning to his real job across the street deciding cases.
We'll talk about the party politics of this, because Republicans can be justifiably thrilled about the fact that they have so many Trump appointees on this court, that it's a 5-4 court that often leans in the favor of Republican issues, that Roberts has been maybe moved more to the middle. He's a very conservative judge, but maybe moved more to the middle because of how conservative the court itself has gotten. Will he be likely to challenge any Republican decisions in the Senate, knowing he's going to be overruled?
You know, he is in such a hot seat now.
Right.
Ever since the retirement of Anthony Kennedy, a centrist conservative, who was that middle position, to think that John Roberts is now at the middle in terms of his ideology on this court is really saying something about how far this court has moved to the right. So he has himself started to moderate some of his positions on cases and inch a little bit more to the left. And he is so aware of being in the spotlight for this. You know that when he oversees Supreme Court oral arguments, no cameras are allowed into the sessions. So suddenly he will be out there. And if ever John Roberts wanted to appear fair and impartial, it will be at the moment overseeing the Senate trial.
Well, and some on the left might see him as a conservative judge overseeing these proceedings. But we have to remember, President Trump in the past excoriated John Roberts when John Roberts' court upheld Obamacare. One can imagine that this president might be excoriating a chief justice again if he doesn't feel he's doing enough in his favor in an impeachment trial.
I think that's exactly right. Have we ever known Donald Trump to hold his Twitter fingers? Mm-hmm. I think we can anticipate some of that. And he's, you know, President Trump also sort of acts as if he owns the judiciary. He talks about how successful he's going to be when his cases get to the Supreme Court. And John Roberts might surprise him a bit at the end of this term. I frankly think that John Roberts is still going to be a very conservative jurist. I think he's going to naturally side with executive power over congressional investigators. But I think that we're in a very unpredictable stage of the Supreme Court right now, in part because of all these political cross currents, and in part because John Roberts wants to project an impartiality and an integrity at a time when Washington is so polarized.
We should note one other thing that we'll see when and if we see this impeachment trial, which is this is not the Supreme Court. These are not the Supreme Court rules. This is the Senate. He's going to be huddling a lot with a parliamentarian who actually will be telling him what's going on.
That's right. In fact, Chief Justice Rehnquist spent a lot of time leaning over, speaking to the parliamentarian, because there are certain rules. It's a very It's a very scripted affair. So I presume right now he is, even though we don't know when a trial will be held, already trying to familiarize himself with rules, with senators. So he will count on two things. He will count on the parliamentarian at his side.
Who, by the way, will be the first woman in this role, Elizabeth McDonough.
That's right. But the other thing that John Roberts is probably counting on is for Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, to try to resolve something so that they can at least have some decorum, have some sense of fairness to let this play out. And right now, as we speak, at the start of the new year, that is not on the horizon yet.
Well, and he's probably hoping, as you said, that he will gavel them in and gavel them to lunch. And that will be the extent of it. Joan Biskupic is CNN legal analyst, Supreme Court biographer, and author of The Chief, The Life and Turbulent Times of Chief Justice John Roberts. Joan, thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy New Year.